वाचां वहनेर्मुखं मुखं क्षेत्रम् छन्दसां सप्तधातवः हव्यकव्यामृतान्नानाम् जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च ब्रह्मोवाच वाचां वहनेर्मुखं क्षेत्रम् छन्दसां सप्तधातवः हव्यकाव्यामृतानां जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च ब्रह्मोवाच वाचां वहनेर्मुखं क्षेत्रम् छन्दसां सप्तधातवः हव्यकाव्यामृतान्नानां जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च ब्रह्मोवाच
वाचा
वहनेर्मुखं क्षेत्रम्
छन्दसां
सप्तधातवः
हव्यकाव्यामृतानां
जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च
ब्रह्मोवाच
हव्यकव्यामृतानां
जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च ब्रह्मोवाच
वाचां वहनेर्मुखं क्षेत्रम्
छन्दसां सप्तधातवः
हव्यकव्यामृतानां
जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च
ब्रह्मोवाच
वाचां वहनेम मुखं क्षेत्रम्
छन्दसां सप्तधा तव
अव्यकाव्यामृतानां
जिह्वा सर्वरसस्य च
ब्रह्मा उवाच लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड वाचां ऑफ द वॉइस वहने हे ऑफ फायर मुखम द माउथ क्षेत्रम द जनरेटिंग सेंटर छंदसां ऑफ द वैदिक हिम्स such as Gayatri, Sapta, seven, Dhatavaha, skin and six other layers, Havyakavya, offerings for the demigods and the forefathers, Amrita, food for human beings, Annanam, of all sorts of foodstuffs. Jivva, the tongue. Sarva, all. Rasasya, of all delicacies. Cha, also. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Lord Brahma said, the mouth of the Virata Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, is the generating center of the voice. His skin and six other layers are the generating centers of the Vedic hymns, and his tongue is the productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods, the forefathers, and the general mass of people. Purport is long, still we'll read. The opulences of the universal form of the Lord are described herein. It is said that His mouth is the generating center of all kinds of vices, and its controlling deity is the fire demigod. And His skin and other six layers of bodily construction are the representative generating centers of the seven kinds of Vedic hymns like the Gayatri. Gayatri is beginning of all Vedic mantras. And it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam, since the generating centers are the different parts of universal form of the Lord. And since the form of the Lord is transcendental to the material creation, it is to be understood that the voice, the tongue, the skin, etc. suggest that Lord in His transcendental form is not without them. The material voice are the energy of energy of taking in foodstuff is generated originally from the Lord. Such actions are but the perverted reflections of the original reservoirs. The transcendental situation is not without spiritual variegatedness. In the spiritual world, all perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in their original spiritual identity. The only difference is that the material activities are contaminated by the three modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in the unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is the sublime enjoyer of everything, and the living entities are all engaged in the transcendental loving service without any contamination of the modes of material nature. The activities of the spiritual world are without any of the inability of the material world, but there is no question of impersonal voidness on the spiritual platform, as suggested by the impersonalists. Devotional service is defined in the Narada Pancharatra as follows. सर्वोपाधि विनिर्मुक्तं तत्परत्वेन निर्मलं ऋषिकेन ऋषिकेश सेवनं भक्तिरुच्यते. So originally, since all the senses are produced of the Lord's reservoir of senses, the sensual activities of the material world are to be purified by the process of devotional service, and thus the perfection of life can be attained simply by purifying the present position of our material activities. And the purifying process begins from the stage of being liberated from the conception of different designations. Every living entity is engaged in some sort of service, either for the self or the family, or for the family, or for the society, country, etc. But unfortunately, all such services are rendered by material attachment. Attachments of material affinity can be simply changed to the service of the Lord, and thus the treatment of being freed from material attachment begins automatically. The process of liberation is therefore easier through devotional service than any other methods. For in the Bhagavad Gita 12.5 it is said that one is subject to various kinds of tribulations if one is impersonally attached. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So here Brahma continues his description of the universal form of the Lord, and in the purport Srila Prabhupada continues to explain that Lord has transcendental form. From universal form we can understand that Lord has transcendental form. That point Srila Prabhupada continues in the purport. So here we see that in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he explains Urdhva Moolam Adashakam Ashvattam Prahuravyam Chandam Siyasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. So this material world is like a inverted banyan tree. So, whose roots are upwards and branches are downwards. Basically, Krishna wanted to inform us that this world is perverted reflection of the spiritual world. We all know that. So, we see the reflection of the water. Where you find a tree whose roots are upwards, branches are downwards. Have you seen any papaya tree whose roots are upwards, branches are downwards? Then why, what Krishna is speaking, something bogus? So what is the meaning? Where you find such tree? Have you seen any such tree? You are not seen? Then why Krishna is telling? Just because you have not seen, Krishna is wrong? Anyway, that leads to another argument which we will not go. So we see reflection of the tree in the water. It appears that, you know, so branches are downwards and roots are upwards. Someday you can show them somewhere in the font. It's easy to learn here Shastra, because these are more readily available here than in city. All these examples which are given in the Shastra. That's why I say you need Varnashrama to understand Shastra also. We cannot study Shastra in the city. So anyway, Krishna says, so what point I wanted to make is that by studying this material world, we will understand spiritual world. So, if this world is perverted reflection of the spiritual world, so all the variegatedness which is available in this world is present in the spiritual world also, but it's in original, pure form. So similarly, by studying universal form, we can come to the conclusion that so Lord also has form like this, but in a transcendental, pure way. So this is a point which Prabhupada is making in the Prabhupada. So generally, Mayavadi is impersonalist, Prabhupada has spoken about here. Their process of realization of Brahman or spiritual reality is niti, 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 negation. So they go on negating, everything material negated. Then you will understand what is Brahman, that is their understanding. How he speaks by negation, you know, this is not, this is not, this is not, nainam chindanti na 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 na, nainam chindanti shastrani na, nainam dahati pavakaha na chainam kledayantyapo na shoshayati maruta. First way also he has explained, but more of negation by, Prabhupada used to call it as definition by negation, but definition by negation itself will not be complete. Therefore, later Krishna says, Mama Ivamsho Jiva Loke, Avareyam Itastvanyam, this is Paraprakarti, this is my eternal part and parcel. What is that Jiva is? I am not this body, just understanding is not complete. It is. So, but who am I? I am servant of Krishna, eternal servant, Jivera Sarupa Hoy Krishna, that is complete understanding, self-realization. So, in this way, by negation, we will not be able to understand. We may understand some aspect of absolute truth, reality, but not fully. We will not be able to understand fully. So, therefore, definition by negation alone is not sufficient. And this Mayavadi process of negation, so will not lead us to perfect knowledge. So they generally try to negate, understand spirit. So this is not, 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 this is not. This way, their knowledge would be imperfect. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna did not present spirit as negation of matter, but he presented matter as perverted reflection of spirit. That is Urdhva-Ashvatam Prabhupada. Original tree is spiritual world, and the perverted reflection of that is material world. So matter is perverted reflection of spirit. So this point has to be very nicely understood. And Prabhupada gives a very modern example in the Prabhupada. He used some geometry. We can learn geometry from Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, if hemisphere, you understand hemisphere, is not reflection of 180 degrees. Other part of the 180 degrees is another hemisphere, right or not? So, if Brahman is the 180 degrees, that line diameter, then reflection of Brahman, how there can be, how can a hemisphere can appear, you know, right or not? So, in this way,
other part of the hemisphere should be existing. So, right, when we speak of Parvata reflection, other part of the hemisphere should be there, right? So, therefore, the Mayavadi impersonalistic understanding that this diameter itself is all in all, that is not correct. There is nothing beyond diameter, that line, straight line. So that is incomplete understanding of the reality. So just to take this point itself, now we have this hemisphere on the material side, that is universal form. Then the other hemisphere, the original reality, and this material hemisphere is reflection of that original reality. That is Krishna's transcendental form. And universal form is reflection of that transcendental form. So in this way, Prabhupada, he explains. And Prabhupada again, he stretches this point and tells that how in the material world all our activities are under three modes of material nature, sattva, rajatama. But when we are in the spiritual world, it's not that there will be no activities. There is no variegatedness, there is no activity, there is no relationship, there is no happiness there. So, in fact, that is real original happiness, relationship and activities and original real life is to be found in the spiritual world with Krishna. And the material life is perverted reflection, it is not reality, it is. So, you may see the reflection of mangoes. Now, mango season, everyone is thinking, meditating on mango. Huh? So, you may see the reflection of mango in the water and jump to catch mango there, but you may not get it. So, the living entities in this world, they are seeking happiness, material happiness. They are trying to jump and catch this material happiness, like catching mangoes. But they will not get it, right? Because so, the happiness which we are seeking is not there in the material world, it is in the spiritual world. Or, generally in relation with happiness, that mirage example is given. So, in the desert, an animal sees that mirage. Mirage means that reflection of water which we see. Sometimes we see on the roads also, right? In the hot sunny day, summer, midday, noon. So, if you are driving vehicle, you feel that oh, little bit ahead in that, you know, on the road there is water, but actually there is no water there. So, in this way, animal runs around, runs behind that water. Animal feels, oh, very soon, it's just nearby, little bit ahead I have to go, water is there. So all the materialistic conditioned souls, they are thinking that very soon I will get happiness. So just let me, everyone is planning, just let me solve this one problem, then I will get all happiness. It is just within the reach of my hand, they think like that. So materialistic people. But actually, in the desert there is no. So that doesn't mean that there is no water at all. Because the reflection of water is there, then there should be original substance water. So, but not in the desert. You have to get out of the desert. Then you will find water. Similarly, we have to get out of this material world. Then only we will find original happiness, original relationships, rasas, and so original life and activities. So, Prabhupada here explains that this material world, we are under influence of three modes and we are so engaged in activities under three modes, sattva, rajatama. So, one, when jiva is in mood of ignorance, so it is always lamenting, crying, dull, lazy, sleepy. Sleepy. And so, and it perceives everything opposite. That is the main symptom of tamoguna. So, exactly opposite perception from the reality. That is ignorance. And moda passion means so intense desires for material, you know, sense gratification. Longing, intense longing for sense gratification. And to fulfill those material desires, they are engaged in intense karma also, activity, intense activity symbolizes. You cannot make them to sit quiet, you know, just cannot sit quiet. And their mind and brain works too fast, but often crooked way. So, in this way, that is mode of goodness, ignorance, mode of passion. And mode of goodness means calmness, peacefulness, happiness, inquiry into higher subject matter. So, intense desire for knowledge. So, these are symptoms of mode of goodness. And austerity, tolerance. So, these are characteristics. Living in, I am not saying Satoguna is great. Compared to other gunas, they are better. So, devotional service is better than without consideration of what is sattva rajatama. Sattva rajatama means, of course, it is always encouraged to be situated in mode of goodness because that is more conducive for devotional service. So, but it is also said, you know, the transcendentally situated person, he does not hate any of the symptoms of sattva rajatama and he engages in the service of the Lord. So, our attachment to this should be so, sometime even devotional service in the material world may be mixed with these three modes. Therefore, there are varieties of devotional service. In Bhagavatam, Kapil Deva, he described to Devahuti 81 varieties of devotional service. So, there are three modes of material nature and there are 9 varieties of devotional service. 9 into 3, how much? Mathematics? 27. Then how 81 they arrived at? 81, how they arrived at? 3 modes are divided into 3 categories. Uttama, Madhyama, Adhama. So, 27 into 3 is 81. In this way, 81 varieties of devotional service are arrived. So, but in the spiritual world, that devotional service will be in its pure form. Here Prabhupada, he writes that in the spiritual world, all the perverted forms of material variegatedness are fully represented in original spiritual identity. The only difference is that material activities are contaminated by 3 modes of material nature, whereas the potencies in the spiritual world are all pure because they are engaged in unalloyed transcendental loving service of the Lord. Potencies. Because ultimately living entities, they are potencies of the Lord. Maybe this is just translation of that verse. Ananda chinmaya rasa parivarta visthavirya eva rupa nirankaram. So, ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita visthavirya eva nija rupa thaya kalami. So, transcendental loving service of the Lord. In the spiritual world, the Lord is sublime enjoyer of everything and the living entities are all engaged in transcendental loving service without any contamination of the modes of material nature. the activities in the spiritual world are without any inebrieties of material world, but there is no question of impersonal wildness on the spiritual platform as suggested. So there, these potencies, basically it is Srimati Radharani. So along with her associates, her expansions, Kalamic's expansions, she engages in the service of the Lord. In Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, fully transcendental. There are no material inebrieties there. There is no material contamination there. So, this is. So, in the material world, devotional service or whatever activities we do, they are perverted activities. Not devotional service, but modes of material. Material activities are perverted. And the activities in the spiritual world are in their original, pure spiritual form. Transcendental form. This is what we have to learn from universal form. Universal form is perverted reflection of the original transcendental form. So, and Prabhupada quotes, Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam. Bhakti means it is free from all the material designations. Tat Paratven Nirmalam Rashikena Rashikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. In this way, by becoming completely pure, so when our senses are purified and when we engage them, that is called as bhakti. So now here point Prabhupada, in the end of the Prabhupada he makes how bhakti is super excellent than process of jnana and impersonal realization, impersonal jnana process. How bhakti is superior. In Bhagavad Gita we see now again and again now. If you read in the Purpatha, so this super excellence of devotional service than other forms of spiritual realization, or how bhakti yoga is the topmost yoga system, superior to all other yogas, that comes again and again. Somewhere it comes as how it is superior to jnana, somewhere it comes how it is superior to ashtanga yoga. Somewhere it comes how it is superior to karmakanda. So all these things, there is in this purport Prabhupada explains how bhakti yoga is superior to impersonal jnana process. So now jnani, impersonalists and jnanis, they want to become free from all these material designations. Sarvopadi vinyu. They want to become free from all this. They are especially, so they speak of in terms of, you know, name, form, varieties of this material world. So, nama, rupa, gunas, they are material and we have to become free from those designations. We have to disconnect ourselves from these things. So, but what is the best process, Prabhupada, he says, this based on this Sarvopadi Nirmuktam. The best process is Bhakti Yoga. So then he quotes this, in the last line you see. Klesho adhikataraste sham abhyakta asakta chetasam. So those who are attached to this abhyakta, impersonal realization, so they realize their self with a lot of difficulty. It is filled with so many problems. In fact, it doesn't give actual result. It is just beating around the bush. That example is given. So, a similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this surrendering process is called bhakti, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahman and what is not Brahman and spends his whole life in 1880, we are discussing, whole life in that way, the result is simply bhakti. Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization because there is no uncertainty in the ultimate result. So, that verse is there, no? In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Brahma prayers, you know, after Brahma, Vimohan, Leela. So he said that all these jnani is klesh. Jnani prayasam udapasya namanta eva
sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartam.
Then? No, that is one verse, that is another verse. It's similar to that, but there that example of beating the husk, paddy, husk of the paddy, you know. By beating that, what you will get? Only you will get labor, you know, pain, labor, you know. So you will not get the grains. So therefore, this impersonal path is like that. Ultimately, you will not get the result. You may realize you are not this body, but that is not the ultimate self-realization. So, how we all have transcendental form, we are supposed to engage in transcendental activities, that we will not able to realize by this impersonal jnana process. Coming back to the verse, here some details, some opulences of universal form are being discussed. The mouth of the Virat Purusha is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. So his skin and six other layers are the generating centers of Vedic hymns, and his tongue is productive center of different foodstuffs and delicacies for offering to the demigods and the forefathers and the general mass. So here vacham vahaner mukham kshetram. So vacham vahaner mukham kshetram chandasam sapta dhatavah. So what is the meaning of this? Mouth of the Virata is the generating center of the voice, and the controlling deity is fire. What is the meaning of controlling deity is fire and all? So generally, those who are followers of Vedic culture, and they recite Omkara, Gayatri Mantra, and worship fire god, you know, sun god or fire. So therefore controlling deity is fire, it is called. So Prabhupada, he explains, it is said that his mouth is generating center of all kinds of voices. Of Vedic hymns like the Gayatri. Like in our body, there are seven layers. Anyone knows what are the seven layers? Who will tell? Who will tell seven layers? Tell some seven layers. Only laughing, you know. Huh? Coward boy. So, seven layers, who will tell? Any seniors? I also don't know. Our Achyut Prabhu found it and gave me. We thank him for that. So, skin, flesh. I remember reading this in, I think, in Brahmacharya book, but I didn't find it there today. He gave me from Krishna book. Skin, write down. Seven layers in the body. Skin, flesh, blood, marrow, bone, fat, and seven. Once more I will tell. Skin, flesh, writing properly. Where you are writing? Properly writing. Skin, flesh, blood. Write wherever you want. Skin, flesh, blood. Skin, flesh, blood, marrow, bone, fat, and salmon. Salmon. So everyone wrote? Seven? Anyone did not write?
Skin, flesh, blood, bone, marrow,
fat.
Salmon.
Fat and seven. You can write the title, Seven Layers of Body. Seven Layers of Body. So Vijay, without telling, tell. Without seeing. You are cheating me, you are seeing it. Anyway, now I don't want to make Bhavatam class too loose. So in this way, there are seven layers. These seven layers represent seven kinds of Vedikins. Like Gayatri. So now again this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, no? What is that verse? 10th canto, I am among Chandas and Gayatri. So in this way, there are different kinds of Vedic hymns, and Gayatri is the beginning of all Vedic mantras, and it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam. Where it is explained in the first volume of Srimad Bhagavatam?
First.
Satyam Param Dhimahi. Dhimahi. Dhimahi is the Bija mantra in Gayatri mantras. And and Omkara or Gayatri is the source of all the Vedic hymns. Now other day our Prabhuji was telling, oh, we are chanting Gayatri. Hare Krishna mantra only is difficult to chant, and now Gayatri mantra is in the mind, we have to chant. So today, just to inspire, I'll speak something about it. That generally Brahmanas, they chant Gayatri mantra to gain Vedic knowledge, because Gayatri or Omkara is the source of all Vedic hymns. So those who chant Gayatri, Vedic knowledge will be revealed in their heart. That's the purpose why Gayatri mantra is there. Of course, we have Hare Krishna mantra. This is even superior to Gayatri mantra. It includes all the Vedic hymns. So, but devotees also are given as an extra, additional, because we are not able to chant only Hare Krishna mantra. So therefore, some extra engagement is given to devotees. So when we get second initiated, what we call in modern, we are supposed to become free from all mental speculation. And this knowledge, Vedic knowledge, is supposed to reveal in our heart by reciting these mantras. So we all know in different places it is, in Brahma Samhita it is told, and in Bhagavatam it is told, when Lord Krishna played his flute, or, you know, that sound of flute, or, ultimately all Vedic hymns are breathings of the Lord. In Brihadaranyaka Upanishad it is said. And so that sound of Krishna's flute comes as Gayatri and enters into the ear of Brahma. And then all Vedic knowledge is revealed in the heart of Brahma. So in many places in Bhagavatam, it is mentioned in 2nd canto, 3rd canto, in so many places it is mentioned. And so in 12th canto also, before concluding, Shukadeva Goswami, he explains, there are some few verses, how so Shaunaka Rishi asks, O gentle Sutta, please narrate to us how Phaila and other generally greatly intelligent disciples of Srila Vyasadeva, who are known as standard authorities of Vedic wisdom, spoke and edited the Vedas. Sutta Goswami said, O Brahmana, first the subtle vibration of transcendental sound appeared from the sky of the heart of the most elevated Lord Brahma, whose mind was perfectly fixed in spiritual realization. One can perceive this subtle vibration when one stops all external hearing. So By Vashishpa, this subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmana, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity and doer, thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. By the worship of this subtle form of the Vedas. So, Gayatri mantras are what? They are, Gayatri mantra is the subtle form of Vedas. So, in this way, they cleanse up their hearts and impurity substance and then they attain freedom from repeated birth. From that transcendental subtle vibration arose Omkara, composed of three sounds. The Omkara has unseen, three sounds means A, U, Om. So Omkara has unseen potencies and manifests automatically within a purified heart. It is a repeated representation of the absolute truth in all three of his faces. The Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Impersonal Absolute Truth, Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. This Omkara, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Super Soul within his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. Soul within the sky of the heart, who is better? It is Paramatma, Sarvadaksha, Vishnu, Allah, Krishna. It is direct designation of self-originating absolute truth, the Super Soul, and is the secret essence of the eternal seed of Vedic hymns. Omkara is exhibited three original sounds of alphabet, A, U, Ma. Probably in English, A, U, M, he writes. These three, O most eminent descendants of Prabhu, sustain all the different threefold aspects of material existence, including the three modes of material energy. Everything is existing because of this. The names of Rag, Yaju, Sama, Vedas, the goals known as Bhur, Bhuvar, and Swar, planetary system, and the three functional platform called walking, waking consciousness, sleep and deep sleep. From Omkara, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, sibilants and others, distinguished by such features as long as short measure. How Sanskrit originated? Some history. All-powerful Brahma made use of this collection of the sounds to produce from his four faces the four Vedas, which appear together with the sacred Omkara and the seven Vyaharati invocations. This one, you know. His intention was to propagate the process of Vedic sacrifice according to different functions performed by the priests of the... Anyway, like this it goes on how Vedas are originated. So... In this impersonal, you know, this universal form, these seven layers are compared to seven Vedic hymns like Gayatri. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Any questions, comments? Maybe we don't have to take time. We have time? So in three modes of nature, very little influence of three modes, like in Bhagavad Gita Krishna, he gave example, embryo covered by womb, mirror covered by dust, and smoke covered. 3 degrees of covering of consciousness, right? So three modes cover the consciousness, but again there are 3 degrees. So if you are covered by Satuguna, but then there are 3 degrees of Satuguna, Uttama, Madhyama and Adama. So then it makes to 81. 27 into 3 is 81.
Under Uttama there are 9 forms of divine service. Under Madhyama there are 9.
Anything else?
Mradu. Adama. Third canto of Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comment. I had given a seminar on that long back in Belgium. Therefore, I remember. I also found out because many devotees, whenever they read Bhagavatam, they would ask, "How it is? It is." Prabhupada did not explain it. He just many things Prabhupada just puts it because that time people's level of knowledge was. Chadir na antya, like that, you know, that word comes there in one of those 4 or 5 verses, 15th chapter beginning. One cannot find the beginning and end of this tree. That means what? One cannot understand when our material existence began. Now, which is more suitable example for that? How the examples are chosen? If their maximum similarity should be there. Ultimately, all examples will not give us complete picture of spiritual reality. So, therefore, the example which has maximum similarities with that spiritual truth which is being discussed, so such examples are given. So, this is very suitable because that banyan tree spreads, goes on expanding. Other trees, they don't expand. Sometimes they may spread up to kilometers. So that is example is more suitable to explain the endless material existence of the jiva. You know. Okay. And material world is also endless. It is. Although we say temporary world, but again and again it is created. As long as jivas have these desires to fulfill, prakriti is also eternal, right? There is no end to it. When it started, when it will, stops, we don't know. It's clear?
Yes, it was clear, but see, when we talk about banyan tree, and what is banyan tree, and there Krishna is compared that its branches are something else, it is then compared its fruits with something else. There are so many things, it is very complicated for us.
You have to learn under guidance.
Very difficult to understand this
part. Under guidance you should learn. You'll be able to learn. Shastras are learned, but that's why Guru is required, no? If we have to just read books and understand everything, then why we need Guru then? Shastras, many devotees came and told me I understood better than before I read when I read personally. So therefore guidance is. It's clear? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.